Over the past 8 months, protesters in Hong Kong have been campaigning against the Chinese-backed local government to ensure that their democratic process and human rights are protected. This past week, university campuses have been flashpoints for these protests as they've been occupied by demonstrators. Now, an estimated 300 student protesters are barricaded inside Polytechnic University in Hong Kong, with police cutting off access to the campus in an attempt to force the protesters to surrender. Toby Hemmings has the story.
This is the sound of two student protesters trying to escape the security blockade around Polytechnic University. This is just the latest incarnation of the conflict between demonstrators and police after months of unrest, with the police now barricading protesters into the Polytechnic campus. Timothy O'Leary, the head of the School of Humanities and Languages at UNSW, explains the rationale behind this.
The police, basically what they want to do is to be able to arrest all of those protesters. So they set up this cordon. They don't allow other protesters to approach from the outside, and they don't allow the protesters from the inside to leave until they're ready and able to arrest them all. The kind of siege situation is something which is quite a very recent development in these protests in Hong Kong, because the early months were characterized by the expression from the Bruce Lee character film, to be water, where the concept was much more fluid, agile, almost like guerrilla tactic. But this phenomenon of students actually barricading themselves inside university campuses is quite a new development. And I think what you see happening at Polytechnic at the moment, the sort of drawback of that strategically from the point of view of the protesters, is that they are literally stuck now inside the campus and they can't get out without going through the police. And of course, that's when the police will arrest them.
Police have taken to firing rubber bullets and tear gas canisters, while protesters have armed themselves with petrol bombs, javelins, and bows and arrows. Ben Bland, research fellow at the Lowy Institute in Sydney and the author of Generation HK, Seeking Identity in China's Shadow, explains the dangers of this standoff.
The concern is that as this drags on, the potential is for some really bad final showdown, because I think the people who are barricaded in there, these now think that, you know, they're going to be arrested if they surrender, and if they stay, there's a chance somehow they might get away, so they're going to carry on fighting. Hong Kongers want to maintain their democratic freedoms. They want to have full elections for their own leaders and their city council, and they want to maintain their autonomy from the rest of China, which is governed directly by the Communist Party. And obviously, Beijing, the Chinese Communist Party, doesn't want to give them those things. In fact, they want increasingly to incorporate Hong Kong into the mainland, and the hardline approach of Xi Jinping is not to give an inch.
This blockade comes at a critical time, with the Hong Kong District Council elections scheduled to be held next Sunday. Timothy O'Leary explains the significance of this.
So if the violence continues at the level of which it is at the moment, this would give the government a pretext to cancel those elections, at least suspend them for the moment. The onus is very much on the government now to make a move, to show that they're willing to, you know, to basically to discuss some of the underlying issues with the protesters, and not only with the protesters, but with a large part of the population who would in some way support the protesters.
Concerns that the Chinese government could send in its military forces were heightened as troops were deployed this past weekend to clear blockades. However, Ben Bland doesn't think this is likely.
I think in the end, that is the nuclear option, because once you've done that, it's very hard to maintain the fiction that Hong Kong is semi-autonomous and thereby deserves the privileged trade access it gets to Australia, to the US, to the European Union.
For someone like Timothy O'Leary, who spent 17 years living and working in Hong Kong, the past few months of unrest and violence have been dispiriting and shocking.
Primarily, it is really shocking to see, not just because I guess anyone might be shocked at looking at the images, but shocking because having had the experience of the people in Hong Kong, it is quite remarkable to see that so quickly so many people in Hong Kong have turned to this kind of violent action, which would have been unimaginable during the last major protest movement in 2014. On the other side of that divide, it's extremely shocking to see the Hong Kong police acting in the way they've been acting, because certainly before 2014, one would never have imagined that the Hong Kong police force would behave in that way towards Hong Kong people. So on both sides, it's quite shocking to see what's happened to the city so quickly and so unexpectedly. I think there's a growing sense of a dwindling possibility that there would be a positive or a peaceful outcome to it.
Timothy O'Leary, head of the School of Humanities and Languages at the University of New South Wales, ending that report by Toby Hemmings.